Hey, my name is Petra Cruz, and I'm obsessed with all things birth, but especially VBAC. I am a birth doula and mom who had a vaginal birth after 3 cesareans. In this podcast, we dive deep into the inspirational world of vaginal birth after cesarean. In each episode, you'll hear inspiring VBAC stories, practical tips from professionals who've championed the VBAC cause, as well as my personal journey and how it might help you on yours. From mindset shifts to evidence-based practices, you'll leave each episode feeling inspired and informed. Get ready to soak in the wisdom, embrace the strength within, and join this incredible VBAC community. This is the VBAC Junkie Podcast. Hey, so today's episode is about placenta previa. Now, why do I want to talk about placenta previa? Well, because I had it. With my 2nd pregnancy, I had a partial placenta previa. So I'm going to kind of dive into like what this means and, you know, what are the risk factors? What are the chances of you getting it? How can you get it? Is there anything you can do? Do you have to have a C-section? So here we go. We're going to dive right into that. So a placenta previa is the complete or partial covering of the internal OS of the cervix with the placenta. So what this means, your cervix is what is going to open to allow your baby to come out of your uterus. And sometimes depending on the placement of your placenta, which, you know, we don't really have a choice over how that happens, you know, wherever that placenta implants, that's just where it grows. So sometimes it is very close to your cervix, which is what happened to me. I had a partial placenta previa, so my placenta was partially covering my cervix. This was actually found at a 20-week ultrasound for me personally, and they just automatically said, okay, we have to have a C-section. Now, wait till the end and I'll let you know what happened with that, what I found out. Going back to the placenta previa. So it can be a major risk factor for postpartum hemorrhage, which can lead to, you know, different things. Sometimes in the most severe conditions, it can lead to morbidity and mortality of the mother and baby. So yes, these are very serious risks that can happen. But knowing which type of previa you have, if you do have a previa, is very important and can dictate what the outcome is for you and your baby. So this type of situation, depending on which previa you might have, can prevent a vaginal delivery, which obviously might require a cesarean. So with a complete previa, that can definitely mean a cesarean is actually necessary because it would be too dangerous for the baby to exit your cervix that way. So this can be diagnosed in pregnancy, obviously via ultrasound, and you might actually experience bleeding in your 2nd and 3rd trimester of pregnancy, which can be a signal that this is possibly happening. You know, I don't want to instill worry into you, but these are just some of the things you can look out for, is that bleeding. So the presence of a placenta previa can also increase a woman's risk for placenta accreta, which is where the placenta actually embeds into the uterus, which this can also be most of the time found during an ultrasound. And this can actually cause a postpartum hemorrhage if you do have a placenta accreta. So how does even a placenta previa happen? So the underlying cause of placenta previa is, they say, unknown, but there are risk factors that sometimes correlate with placenta previa. Sometimes this is, as they call, advanced maternal age. If you're having multiples, you know, like 2 or 3 babies at once or more, smoking, cocaine use, if you've had multiple cesareans, or if you've even had a prior placenta previa. When implantation happens, the fertilized eggs require an environment rich in oxygen and collagen. So sometimes the implantation can happen in prior uterine scars because they do provide an environment that is rich in oxygen and collagen. So sometimes that does happen where it adheres to the uterine scar, which can lead to placenta, the placenta covering the cervix, and the placenta actually invading the walls of the myometrium, which is, embedding into your uterus. Now, placenta previa affects 0.3% to 2% of pregnancies in the third trimester. And it has become more evident due to the increasing rate of cesareans that are actually taking place. Whether they're necessary or not, that's not in the research that I found where they're, looking if it was actually an emergency or if it was scheduled or, So we're not looking at that right now, but it is more evident, with the increasing rate of cesareans. So just so you know. Now, with placenta previa, it's either completely or partially covering your cervix. Now, a low-lying placenta is where the edge is within 2 to 3.5 centimeters from, like the internal part of like your cervix. So it is very tiny. Like if you looked at the centimeters, there's a very tiny, like it's a tiny measurement. So it can even be wrong on the ultrasound sometimes. So that is the low line. Now, a marginal placenta previa is where the placental edge is within 2 centimeters of the internal cervix area. Now, nearly 90% of placentas identified as low line will actually ultimately resolve by the third trimester. And this is due to the placental migration. So if you did not know this, the placenta itself does not actually move, but it grows toward the increased blood supply at your fundus, leaving the portion of the placenta at the lower uterine segment. So, when you're thinking about it, now if you can imagine your uterus, so imagine that your uterus is growing, growing, growing. So it's stretching. And think about your abdomen, it's growing up and out, okay? So your placenta is actually moving with your growing uterus. So, like I said, nearly 90% of placentas that were low-lying resolved, meaning you could still have a vaginal birth. Okay. So keep that in mind. And if you are unsure, you can actually request another ultrasound before you do give birth, whether it's at 35 weeks, 36 weeks, to see if, there's a possibility that it moved completely out of the way and you are able to give birth vaginally, because it is definitely possible. So obviously, like I talked about, there's some ways to identify besides the ultrasound to see whether or not your placenta may be in the way or it's an issue to where you won't be able to have a vaginal birth. So if you've had painless vaginal bleeding during your second or third trimester, this could be an indication, or it can be an indication of, some type of normal. You might have like polyps in there or something, and they get aggravated and bleed a little bit. That's also a possibility. Bleeding may also happen during like intercourse or vaginal examinations at your doctor or during labor. I mean, there is blood during labor, but there might be like an excessive amount of blood during labor. And sometimes there's actually no identifiable causes. So sometimes your OB can actually visibly see your placenta when they're doing like a speculum examination in your vagina. And sometimes when they're doing like a digital examination where they're sticking their gloved fingers in your vagina, they could do an examination that way and feel, but that should actually be avoided if you know for sure that you have a placenta previa, because this can actually possibly cause a hemorrhage. So, keeping things out of the vagina, especially during the beginning, like the first, second trimester, is very important, especially if it is very visible and very obvious that you do have a previa. So, like personally, I was put on bed rest when bed rest and then like no sex, nothing in the vagina until like I think it was until after delivery. So it was a while. It was a while. Obviously for me, it was worth it, But definitely if you do have like a diagnosis for placenta previa, any type of previa, at your 20-week ultrasound, because that's typically when they do diagnose the previa. I highly suggest that you follow up, like have a follow-up ultrasound at 28 to 32 weeks, or, you know, just any time after that before you give birth, just to see if it moved, because it is definitely possible. And from my experience, don't just put your trust in your care team to identify that for you, because personally, which I didn't realize, you know, they sent my ultrasound results to my, like I had an online portal or something, which most people do nowadays. Check out that online portal and see for yourself, like what those measurements are, and then like talk to your doctor about it. So you can go in geared up with information that you know to be unbiased, you know, actual risks and benefits, depending on where your placenta is at that time, so that you feel confident in the decision that you're making and aren't just relying on your practitioner's advice solely. Not to say every practitioner is not going to be honest with you, but mine was not. So I don't want you to fall into that like I did. Now, typically, if there's any placenta previa diagnosis, the woman is automatically scheduled for an elective cesarean between 36 and 37 weeks. But obviously, some people do have like complications and require like a sooner cesarean or more of an emergent cesarean, depending on like, say they're bleeding and it won't stop. You know, that would be something that would be an emergent situation. Like personally, I was actually 36 weeks when I had my cesarean. And my doctor had just told me, like, I had like a couple drops of blood that came out. Like, literally, I wiped and there was like a little tiny bit of blood. And they're like, oh my gosh, you need like to have a cesarean. And they did actually do like an ultrasound before I had my cesarean at 36 weeks. But I trusted my doctor. And my doctor was like, yeah, you know, we do need to perform a cesarean because you still have the previa and, you know, I don't want you to hemorrhage. And so I just went along for the ride. I did not check myself on my results. And, you know, that is a regret of mine, is just not checking the information for myself. But you know what? We're here today and it is what it is. And my daughter's healthy and it's actually her 9th birthday, March 20th, 2015. She was born. So yeah, she is 9 years old now. And like when my daughter was born, she was actually 5 pounds, 14 ounces. So I feel like she was a pretty good size for being born at 36 weeks. very healthy. But you know, I did have that elective cesarean because I was made to believe that I was at risk for a hemorrhage because of where my placenta was. Now, fast forward to me planning my VBAC, my vaginal birth after 3 cesareans. I actually went and got my hospital records because I wanted to see how they did my incision, like if it was like a transverse incision or not. And it was a transverse incision. So, you know, that was what I was looking for. But then what I also saw was that my placenta had moved out of the way and I could have gone for vaginal birth, but they didn't tell me because my hospital had a VBAC ban and they were just not for VBAC. And I've talked to a midwife, a local midwife, who she said, because she went to like Uganda or something like that, that she actually had helped like deliver multiple babies from a mom that actually had placenta previa. What they did was like they broke her water and moved lifted the placenta out of the way to birth the baby. So like there is a way that they do it in like third world countries if they need to. So to say that it's not possible, it is possible. Am I telling you to do that? Definitely not. I'm not saying that's what you should go do, but just that it is possible if that is something that you want to do. So obviously check like your own medical records to see like what your placenta is doing and how far away from your cervix it is, if it's like completely out of the way or if it's completely covering your cervix still, because that does make a difference where it is. But just know that VBAC is possible even if they diagnose you At 20 weeks with a low-lying placenta, just check your own records, ask for a follow-up ultrasound. If you don't like what your doctor's saying to you, get a second opinion. You don't like that second opinion? Get a third opinion. Go until you get all the information that makes you feel good, whether you feel like, they're giving you the most evidence-based or anecdotal, whatever evidence or anecdotal information you want to help you make that decision, then go for it. It doesn't matter how many doctors you see. You can see 10 if that's what makes you feel good until you decide on what exactly you want to do. But there is a risk. I'm not going to sit here and say there's no risk if you do plan to have a VBAC with that low-lying placenta. So if the placenta lies greater than like 2 centimeters from the cervical opening, then that can qualify you for a VBAC. I mean, it's totally up to you. It's your choice completely. But there is instances where it's documented that there could be an increased risk for postpartum hemorrhage or possibly an emergent cesarean. Now, this also depends on so many different factors. Like, are you accepting interventions such as Pitocin? Because that can, that makes your uterus contract at a faster or increased intensity than your natural contractions. So that could tire out your uterus. That can increase your risk for hemorrhage. There's so many different factors that play into this. So definitely being also with a practitioner that you feel comfortable and confident with, who is going to, just like give you unbiased information if that's possible. And there are home birth midwives that you can go to and ask these questions to see if that is in their scope of comfort or if it's legal in your state. Because I do know that in some states it's considered illegal and not all midwives are okay with that. So if you decide to go like the home birth route, you would just have to really talk to different home birth midwives to see if that's something that is possible in your area. Obviously, talking to an OB if that's what you want to do too. There's just so many options that you can go with. There's no one way or right way that you can go about doing this. Whatever way that you decide to do is the right way. And I know I say this over and over again, but I really want to drill it down because there's so many times in my own life where I felt like I had to make this one certain decision because there was only one way to go. But now that I'm on the other side of all of this, I realize there is not one right way, one right or one wrong way. The right way is the way that you choose, no matter what that choice is. Whether your family agrees or your doctor agrees or not, it's your body, it's your baby, which makes it your choice, right? And as long as you feel confident and comfortable in that, and then I think that's all that matters, I just kind of want to leave you with that. While placenta previa, low-lying placenta variations can add sort of like a complexity to your VBAC journey, it's important to remember that each situation is very unique, right? Because your body is not the same as my body, okay? So one person can have their placenta move out of the way completely and they still decide that they want a cesarean. That's totally fine, And they end up having a postpartum hemorrhage. Who knows? And then a person can decide to have a VBAC because their placenta moved out of the way. And then they have a hemorrhage too. So, it's the opposite too. You can decide and either way, and everything goes perfect and smooth. Birth is just so unpredictable, right? There's so much complexity to it in a whole. But I think just being open with yourself and your healthcare team, your family, whoever you decide to invite into that space, being open about your feelings and their feelings, and making sure that you feel good with the support team that you have on hand can actually just make whatever situation happens feel okay to you. You can leave that birth no matter how it unfolds, without trauma, without guilt, without shame, because you felt informed and you felt like you made an informed decision. Like I said, There's no right or wrong way to do it, okay? So just choose whatever feels good to you, okay? Because I know I look back on my situation, and had I known that my placenta moved out of the way, I would have gone for VBAC. I wouldn't have had a repeat cesarean. But my doctor never gave me that choice. She never offered that information to let me know that my placenta moved out of the way. And sure, I can blame my doctor all I want, but in reality, I need to also take radical responsibility for that decision. I made that decision to not check my records. I knew they were there. I knew they were there. The test results were there. But I didn't check them. I didn't dive deeper into that information to see if I felt okay with having a VBAC, knowing that it had moved out of the way. So just do whatever feels good to you, no matter what that looks like. And it's okay. Like, I don't want you to feel guilt or shame for planning a VBAC or planning a repeat cesarean. There's nothing wrong with either choice because guess what? Either way, you still grew a whole entire human in your body from nothing. Okay, and now I want you to go into your postpartum feeling confident because you were able to make those choices for yourself and your baby, and it felt good to you in that moment, right? So no matter what you do, I am so rooting for you. And I hope that this episode was helpful in giving you some information about placenta previa and kind of like your options going forward, and just giving you some information on some of the risks and some of the benefits and the possibilities when you do have a previa. So if you wanted to look into more, I will leave a link down below for where I got my information, because there's so much information on this, so much information on this. But I did get most of my information from the National Library of Medicine, and it's on like placenta previa, and there's so many like evidence-based articles. So thank you for joining me today. And if you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to send me a DM on Instagram. I'd love to connect with you. All right, I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the VBAC Junkie podcast. Make sure to leave a rating and subscribe to the show so that you don't miss an episode. And also, I have a free gift for you. If you would like to have a guide on how to prepare for a VBAC, head to my website at www.birthingcometrue.com/VBAC guide. And all of this will be in the show notes, so you can just click that link and head there and download this free guide. I hope you have an amazing week. Until next time, bye.